ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
It was just too much, but you can look at the pictures I'm going to put up on the webpage, but, or you can just search on the internet. Amazing how beautiful this place is. It could hold some 1.5 million people. It's huge. So that's just waiting now for the nation of Israel to go there. In Psalm 60, verses 1 through 3, listen to what we're told. Oh God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. Oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. Verses 9 through 12. Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. What's the strong city located in Edom? It's Petra. And when you read in the Bible, Selah, that's another name for Petra. Okay, keep that in mind. Selah and Petra, same thing. But the Antichrist, do you really think the Antichrist is going to be swayed from coming after them? It reminds me of the Egyptians, right? Yeah, you guys go, get out of here, get out of town, we don't want you anymore. And when they went out of town, what happened? Pharaoh said, what am I doing? I'm getting rid of all my slaves, I'm going after them. The Jews refused to bow the knee. The Antichrist is going to say, hey, wait a minute, you're not getting away with this, I'm coming after you. And that's exactly what he does. And listen to what takes place in verses 15 and 16 here in Revelation 12. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. The Antichrist, I believe now indwelt by Satan or the dragon, comes after the woman or Israel. And as we've seen, Israel's on their way from Jerusalem to Petra, because they refuse to worship the Antichrist. And the water that flows from the mouth of the serpent, I believe, refers to his army and not a literal flood. He pours out his army out after them. How could I be so sure? Well, I think the scriptures tell us. The prophet Isaiah illustrates this in Isaiah 59, verses 19 and 20. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. This is speaking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But notice, the enemy comes in like what? Like a flood. This is an army. This is the Battle of Armageddon, right? The armies of the world have gathered in the Valley of Megiddo to fight against the Lord and really his people in Jerusalem. Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8, say this. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Wow. This is just, the psalmist is just speaking of God's protection against the enemies of Israel, how God has taken care of them. So is it a past event? Yeah, but it's also looking into the future. And I think we also see it here in Revelation chapter 12. God is going to protect them. The enemies tried to destroy them, and there is God watching over them. If the Lord wasn't on their side, would the nation of Israel survive? I don't think so. I think that's the point. When you look at nations that have been dispersed, they are assimilated with the other nations that they're involved with. Think about the northern kingdom of Israel, that how they went into different areas and they had become the Samaritans. Samaritans? Yes. Sorry, brain freeze. Half-breeds. Why? Because they had married Gentiles, so they were considered half-breeds. That's the problem with nations that have been assimilated into other countries. They lose their identity. The Jews haven't. They're still Jewish. They still, in fact, the Hebrew language, remember the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures was put together around 250 or so BC. The reason being was because Jews could no longer read Hebrew. So they couldn't even read their own scripture. So it was translated into the Greek language, which they understood. Do you know what they speak in Israel today? Hebrew. God preserved their language. He preserved his people. If the Lord was not for them, they would no longer be around. That is a great testament of how powerful our God is and what he could do. He's told us already what's going to be happening with the nation of Israel, and we see his hand upon them. Never forget that. When Israel was fleeing, or the Jewish people were fleeing Egypt, you see them in a really desperate situation. The Red Sea was in front of them. They had mountains on either side, and the Egyptian army was behind them. Their chariots, which were like our armored tanks of today, and they had no place to go. I mean, how do you get, 2 to 3 million people across the Red Sea? You can't. Not quickly. It would take forever. But God was for them, right? God said he was going to bring them into the promised land. It was a promise by God. And he did. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The waters opened up. Can you imagine the sound of that? I'm sure it got every Jew's attention as those waters parted. You could just hear them roaring. And then all of a sudden, all that mud that was down on the bottom of the Red Sea dried up. And the Jews walked through on dry ground. Not only that, the Egyptians were catching up to the Jews. They weren't going to make it through. So what does God do? He loosens some of the bolts on the chariot wheels. Kind of, oh my gosh, we're all over the place. Put a little cloud so they couldn't see as well. And then the Jews had made it through. The Egyptian army was in the middle of that Red Sea, and those waters came down and destroyed them all, even Pharaoh. That is our God. You know, people are fearful today of all that's happening in this world, and I understand that. But our God is bigger than that. You know, I had read an article about a guy who is concerned because a bunch of Christians were eliminated from Twitter. No longer can have a Twitter account because they're Christian, white, male, completely removed from Twitter. And the concern is not only with Twitter, but what about with all the social media? What about us using that as a platform to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ? As frustrating as that is, there's one thing we left out. Is our God bigger than that? Can he still get his gospel message out apart from social media? We're so used to all these things that we have today, which can be taken away in an instant. But how did the early church get the gospel message throughout the whole known world? Through Facebook, Twitter, television, radio, newspapers? No. They went from town to town to town proclaiming the gospel message. Yeah, but what if they say we can't do that anymore? Well, you know, I don't know. Look at the life of Paul. You know, Paul, I think it was Lystra, they stoned the guy, right? Everyone thought he was dead. They were going to bring him, pull him out, and all of a sudden he got up, goes back to the city. God's in control. He will never lose his witness. So if all the social media for Christians is removed, what are we going to do? We're going to share our faith. God has ways. I look at China. You know, my wife's grandfather was a missionary in China before communism came in. In fact, Julie, my wife's mom, Julie's mom, was born in China and raised there for many years. All she has for a birth certificate is a little piece of paper, handwritten. There's no other documentation of her birth. That's it. And for years, I mean, when the communists started coming in, Julie's grandfather was out bringing the gospel to different groups of people who used a bicycle. An incendiary bomb exploded. Well, I shouldn't say exploded. It just spread all that dust everywhere. It covered him and his bike. He couldn't use his bike anymore. One spark, everything would have gone up. So he just had to walk. They were hiding in caves when the bombers were coming. And when he finally got out of China with his family, Julie's grandfather, grandmother, her uncle, and her mom, they were on boats. They had to zigzag in the ocean to avoid enemy submarines that were out there to destroy him. And he was very disappointed. All the hard work he had put in there, and now nothing. And he just felt it was a waste of time because, you know, what's going to happen? Their faith is over. There's no more hope for them. You realize the number of Christians in China right now? The growing number of Christians? We see it as failure. God says, I'm not done. I've got work to do. Never lose sight. Sometimes, guys, I understand it looks hopeless. How can we impact anyone or anything? Because of God. We can't do it anyway. But he always has a plan. And his plan is so amazing. I think many times as we look back at what God is doing, we're just shocked, blown away at how fruitful the work that he does through us is. Never forget that. Here, God has opened up the earth, destroyed this group of military men that are coming after the Jewish people. You think, well, the Antichrist is just going to give up, right? No. He's still going to fight against the Jewish people because not all are going to leave the city. Look at verse 17 here in Revelation 12. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the Antichrist, empowered by Satan, couldn't touch those Jews who now fled to Petra because they're protected by the Lord. But since he can't destroy this group of people, he's going after the ones he can, those that remained in Jerusalem. And he's going after believers, those that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. These are believers, Jewish converts. And he's going after those who refuse to bow the knee to the Antichrist. His wrath during the last 3.5 years is going to be unbelievable. The millions and millions of Gentiles and Jews that are going to be killed, martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, is going to be tremendous. Again, this is specifically speaking of the Jewish people here. He was going after the woman's offspring, or the woman, right? That's Israel. But it's going to be unleashed upon everyone. We see in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. So we see this tremendous martyrdom of believers, both Jews and Gentiles. Also, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the fury, the hatred of all those who would bow the knee, receive the mark, worship the Antichrist. He's coming after them to destroy them. And to the Jews, it's going to be intense. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9. This is what happens. "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, 'This is my people,' and each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" So two-thirds of the nation of Israel is going to be destroyed by the Antichrist. There's almost 7 million Jews living in Israel right now, and that number is growing daily. That would mean over 4.6 million Jews would be destroyed. 2.4 million would make it through. You read these numbers, and it's incredible, right? And that's just speaking of the Jewish people, the millions and millions of Gentiles that are also martyred for their faith. Incredible. So for us, we're to be on guard in the days we're living, and we are to be watchful. We're to pay attention to the things that are happening around us. You know, people today think, you know, Christians think this is our playground. We want to be entertained. We want to be taken care of. Give me the peanuts and popcorn or whatever. This is a battlefield, guys. We're in a war. This isn't a playground. And it's tragic that so many believe it's a playground, that we're just here to have fun. Hey, I'll tell you what, serving the Lord is the greatest joy in the world. I can't imagine doing anything else. But we're in a battle, we're in a war, and we need to pay attention. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, what are we supposed to do? Peter says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." There you go. Hey, guys, it's happening all over the world. You resist him in the faith. That's the solution. And the enemy is always looking to attack, to destroy. He wants to make us ineffective Christians, to put out our light. And we open ourselves up to danger when we play the long ranger. I've heard people say, "I don't need anyone." That's absolutely false. We need each other. Why do you think Paul kicked that young man at the church in Corinth, said to kick him out because he was having sexual relations with his stepmom? Why do you think Paul said kick him out of the church? Because he was leaving the protection of the church. He was going in the world where Satan could buffet him. But when he repented, he was allowed back in. We need each other. There is no Christian Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tano. Right? We need each other. you know, as I said before, the enemy likes to divide and conquer. We need to be wise. We shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Paul said in Hebrews. We need each other. The body of Christ working together, it strengthens us. As the day of the Lord gets closer, I think things are going to get more intense. And I'm not saying that to scare anyone, but we need to be aware of it. We shouldn't be surprised by these things. We need to be aware. We need to ask the Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to handle this? I'm not saying we throw our hands up in the air and say, you know, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, because we're in a battle and we're fighting. We're fighting for righteousness. We're fighting for our children, our families, our neighborhoods, our state, our nation. And we shouldn't be discouraged. I'll tell you what, if you're serving the Lord, you're going to be attacked. There's no doubt in my mind. If you're not doing anything, Satan can care less because you're ineffective. But if you are serving the Lord, if you are using the gifts that God has given you, you will be attacked. That's just the way it is. And we need to stand strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Our offensive weapons are the Word of God and prayer. Why the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit? Why is that so important? Because it shows us what we're to be doing. It gives us confidence that God loves us and is guiding us. And prayer? Prayer is the heavy artillery. We need to be praying for our families. We need to be praying for our nation, our missionaries, our state, our nation. So important. As we move into Revelation chapter 13, next time we're going to be introduced to really some very key players, the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And we'll begin to deal with that next time as we look at the beast out of the sea or the Antichrist. This man is sold out against God. He blasphemes God. And we'll see that. We need again to stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Paul warned in Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Why do we go through the Word of God? Because we want to know about Jesus. We want to know all that He has for us. Why? Because we want to be complete. We want to be prepared. We want to put on the whole armor of God so we can stand strong in the days that we're living in. One writer has put it like this: for the long-suffering people of Israel, the darkest hour lies ahead, but it will be followed by a glorious dawn. The elect remnant of Israel, having the most savage persecution in the nation's long history, will be saved and enjoy the bliss of the millennial kingdom. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, absolutely. We need to remember these days are going to be difficult for us. There's a lot of opportunities for us. But there is a glorious day coming. Never forget that. As Revelation 11:15 says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The Lord is coming back, guys. He's going to reign on this earth, and those who believe are going to enter into the kingdom age with Him. Praise the Lord. That is what is ahead. Are there some dark days? Absolutely. But we have the light of Christ. And as long as we walk in the light as He is in the light, we're not going to stumble. It's when we move away from the light of God and we try to do it on our own that we're going to stumble. Stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your words this evening. And just, Lord, we see how much You love the nation of Israel and how much You love us. And Lord, Your promise that You made to Israel will be fulfilled. The Messiah will come back. He will sit on the throne of David, and all Israel will be saved, just as You've said. And the promises You made to us will come to pass. The gates of hell will not prevail over Your church, Lord. You've promised that to us. And no matter how dark it gets, You are still going to work. I think of John Bunyan, who is in prison, Lord, put there because of his preaching of Christ. And he, from the prison, he was telling people of Jesus. People were gathering, thousands of them, to hear, and they locked him in the darkest, deepest part of the prison so no one could hear him anymore. And that's when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Lord, may we never give up on you. No matter what happens, no matter what we go through, you're in control, and we thank you for that. Help us to keep our eyes upon you and to trust in you, that you are faithful and just, and you will see us through these situations we face for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.